Hi, welcome to Shift, a PwC Canada podcast series. Having a strategic vision for where you're going next can be a challenge. Just saying transformation doesn't make it happen, and making an investment doesn't mean you'll automatically capture its full value. We're hearing firsthand from industry leaders on how they're making strategic transformations a priority. I'm your host, John Finkelstein, Executive Creative Director of PwC Canada. Welcome to another episode of Shift. Today, we're diving into Ontario's groundbreaking initiative, the Accelerated High-Speed Internet Program. Spearheaded by the Ontario government's historic $4 billion investment, we're fast-tracking to become a fully connected province by 2025 and redefining what digital access means in Canada. In the spotlight today, we've got Ron Jacarin, Director of Commercial Projects Infrastructure Ontario. He's one of the strategic minds from Infrastructure Ontario driving this incredible transformation. Now, Ron and I are going to deep dive into how this historic investment isn't just changing the game for unserved and underserved communities, but also setting a new benchmark for connectivity, innovation, and economic growth. Hi, Ron. Thanks for being here and giving us an insider's take on making digital inclusivity a reality. Welcome to Shift. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what your role is at IO.
John, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. A little bit about me. I've spent about 10 years in government in several capacities, primarily in finance and treasury roles. I've led the development of multiple annual provincial budgets. I've supported the government with securing strategic investments that support economic growth and development, and later decided to shift towards working on energy and electricity sector policy at the Ontario Financing Authority. I then transitioned to Infrastructure Ontario, which is a crown agency of the province that partners with both public and private sectors to deliver all major public infrastructure projects in Ontario. In my current role here at IO, I lead the delivery and execution of the Accelerated High-Speed Internet Program, which is part of Ontario government's commitment of nearly $4 billion to connect every region of the province to reliable high-speed internet by the end of 2025. It's the single largest investment in high-speed internet in any province by any government in Canadian history.
That is a really large number. What was the reaction to that number? I'm really curious.
Yeah, I think it demonstrated the government's commitment to getting the job done. Our geography, our terrain is quite unique in Ontario. We often think of the urban centers, but there are a lot of remote and rural regions. So it really demonstrated the government's commitment to invest in this project.
With such a significant investment, what are the primary goals of the program for Ontario communities, especially when we're thinking about unserved and underserved communities?
Yeah, we had a couple objectives that we wanted to achieve. It's really about enabling access to high-speed internet. So that's 50/10 service to all parts of the province by the end of 2025. Part of that commitment was to prioritize fiber connections. It is more reliable, long-lasting infrastructure that we intentionally prioritized to ensure that the government's investment was being optimized.
With a project of this magnitude, I can't even get my head wrapped around $4 billion. That's a lot of money, obviously, a lot of technology, and it takes a lot of people. What were some of the teams involved for the collaboration with this change, and how did you go about wrangling that?
So through our program, we're aiming to reach up to 266,000 of the hardest to reach unserved and underserved homes and businesses in over 300 municipalities across the province. Now, when you think of our stakeholder ecosystem that we need to collaborate with, it's well over 500 delivery partners, all with their own requirements and processes and challenges and biases. And we needed to work with all of them to ensure alignment. Ultimately, we contract with a total of 8 internet service providers, national, regional, and local players. The projects are being built, as I mentioned, in over 300 municipalities across Ontario, each with their own capital plans, their own permitting processes for installing fiber in the ground. We have over 60 electricity utility companies in Ontario, with a handful of them covering the majority of the province, and they're regulated by our arm's length regulator, the Ontario Energy Board. We are pulling together multiple government ministries, departments, and agencies. We're working with engineering, procurement, and construction firms, and much more. And IO is really at the center of ensuring that the right connections are being made and information and data are flowing between all parties at all times.
You're like an internet hub.
Definitely.
Obviously, I work on projects that have lots of people, but 500 partners down to 8 and different operating models and capital plans. What was the hardest part about that?
Really, the hardest part was getting everyone aligned, building consensus, and trying to get people to row in the right direction. That was a massive undertaking. It's a huge change management exercise that we've been undertaking for the past several years. And pulling all those people together, as I said, with varying perspectives, biases, and challenges was a really, really difficult task.
I'll ask you the hard question on that one. What advice or what tips would you have? Or is there any specific areas that you like, hey, if you're going to do something like this, you want to be thinking this way?
Yeah, definitely. A perspective that IO brings to all of its projects is that private sector lens to tackle some of the government's toughest challenges. One of the things we did early on was engage the market and engage them in a couple ways to begin to identify some of those pain points and develop solutions collaboratively. The first way was around market soundings that helped us design our competitive procurement process and reverse auctions that would foster fair and open competition. And the second was a more technical form of market engagement where we brought together representatives from internet service providers, the municipalities, utilities, government departments, and we created a forum to discuss a number of topics. So bringing the market's view early, their input early into the problem solving was critical. We heard clearly from the market that government subsidies alone weren't enough to help solve the problems. They were important, but there needed to be rule changes, new processes to come in place. And those also added significant value.
Okay. First of all, we need to figure out how to align and get everybody rowing in the same direction, which must have been extremely difficult. I'm just trying to imagine what some of those meetings might have been like. And how do you wrangle that many people together? I'm just really, as an aside, just as an interested party, how does that happen? What magic technology might you use?
It was no easy task. We used quite a combination of tactics to do that. One of the key enablers that made this a success was that we had government partners that were willing to challenge status quo thinking and make changes that helped reduce red tape. We worked through political offices, our connections with internet service providers. We had commercially confidential meetings, market soundings, where we invited participants. It was multi-pronged in the way we engaged sectors. And depending on topics, we tried to have the right stakeholders in the room. So they didn't have to be in every conversation, but we're aware of the gambit of topics that we were discussing.
Working with a government who's open to new models or changing the way we do things, I mean, I read some stuff around some of the different acts that were like the Reducing Red Tape Act, et cetera, et cetera. Ron, I'm curious whether or not did COVID and the impact that the pandemic had on us and our reliance on technology, did that have any impact on how government responded to the need and how it may have been more flexible in terms of red tape and doing things quickly?
So many of us don't really think about broadband or having access to high-speed internet because it's always at our fingertips, like you mentioned. In today's economy, access to fast and reliable internet is an essential service that should always be available to everyone, no matter where they live. That being said, there's still a large digital divide in Ontario, particularly in those remote and rural communities. And just like you said, the pandemic really amplified that issue when governments had to implement public safety measures that saw most of their businesses and schools and other vendors close their physical locations. And there were many parts of the province that had poor or no access to high-speed internet. And as a result, many Ontarians were unable to work from home or attend school or access virtual healthcare services. So that really led the government to make significant investments in building broadband infrastructure, and we're seeing it around the world. That was critical for the government to consider broadband services and access to it help bring greater digital and social inclusivity, and enable stronger participation in our digital economy. It fosters economic development. Ontarians can stay in touch with family and friends. They have access to those public services, operate their businesses, and work from anywhere in the province. And that will help create jobs and drive economic growth, especially in those rural and remote communities that didn't have any access.
So managing these tight timescales, though, that had to be a challenge on its own. I mean, you have to change your traditional approaches. You probably have a bigger reliance on real-time data. Can you take us through a little bit about how that went down and how you managed to make every second count?
Absolutely. So when you think about a project of this scale and how large Ontario really is, it's about 1.5 times bigger than the state of Texas. Traditionally, a project of this magnitude can take over 10 years to build, and we're compressing those timelines into just 3 years. As you can imagine, you need to think creatively, come up with a series of innovations. And that's what we did. We tried to put them in place to get the projects completed on time. We had, beginning with the procurement, we had to find ISP partners that were willing to build these projects quickly under these tight timelines. What we did was we designed a 2-stage procurement process that featured the first ever large-scale reverse auction process in Canada. What we did was we divided the province up into about 90 service areas. And through our mapping and modeling, we assigned government subsidy prices to each of those regions. And we allowed internet service providers to bid for government subsidies in a reverse auction format, meaning the lowest bid for government subsidies would win. So it allowed us to optimize the way government subsidies would be utilized and discover the best subsidy levels under this competitive tension. That allowed us to streamline the negotiations we needed to undertake and quickly execute contracts to give our counterparties enough time to get into the field and start working. That being said, we also needed to introduce a suite of innovative tools to help accelerate broadband builds. As I mentioned, the subsidies weren't enough. What we heard from our stakeholder engagements was that there were other tools and processes and legislative changes that would help accelerate the build. You talked a little bit about technology. An integral part of our program was centered around an innovative tool called the Broadband One Window Platform. It was designed to enhance coordination and engagement with public and private sector partners. I mentioned over 500 stakeholders. So this tool really allowed us to do that. It's an ArcGIS online platform that integrates geospatial mapping, analytics, cloud infrastructure. It's the first digital platform in Ontario history that was legally mandated to address some of the barriers and streamline communication among stakeholders. It allows us to facilitate permitting between our 8 ISP counterparties and the over 300 municipalities and over 60 utilities across Ontario. That platform allows us to enable reporting and dashboarding so we can track the progress of every project at an extremely granular level. So it's brought a whole new layer of transparency that governments never otherwise had. To assist stakeholders that need support in carrying out the work, we also put in place what we call our technical assistance team. We brought together experts from the municipal utility sector, urban planning experts, engineers, broadband and network design experts, and many more that can help our delivery partners with any and all challenges they face, whether that may be around permits or design work or even dispute resolution. As you can imagine, with that many stakeholders, many disputes come up. And maybe I'll give you a little more on the legislation, if that's okay.
No, I want to hear about the legislation. Hey, yeah. With the reverse auction being the first time that happened in Canada for this type of thing,
yeah,
What was the reaction from ISPs when they saw how the procurement process was being run?
Part of what we did in designing that procurement process was what we called market sandings. So we worked with the ISPs and in a sense, co-developed and designed the process to ensure that we had a competitive market that ISPs were willing and able to participate fairly in. So we took their perspectives early on in the design of the program. So it wasn't a surprise, and we had great participation in that reverse auction.
That's a lovely way at it, to make sure that when you go out there with an ask, that the ask is clear to the people you're asking. What a brilliant way to save a lot of time.
That's right. And we wanted to ensure that we set expectations with the market. So we also shared what the contractual terms would look like ahead of time. We created a new construct called pay for performance contracts. So you wouldn't get paid until access was delivered, which is different than some of the traditional government programs. So that was another unique innovation that we had. But again, we tested that with the market and ensured that the terms of the contracts were somewhat palatable to them. Again, that was another tool we used and another process that we undertook to speed up our negotiations and execute contracts quickly. So the expectations in the market were all set well in advance.
It just goes to show you that when something urgent is needed, you can really wrangle a lot of different people together to solve an important problem. And that includes, as you were saying, legislation. So I think that you wanted to talk a bit more of that and tell me a little bit about what that was like in terms of how the Ontario government went around to revolutionizing or transforming its legislation to pave the way.
So we held a number of technical working group sessions. We pulled together municipal, the utility experts, industry associations, various parties to talk about all the challenges associated with building broadband infrastructure, whether that be burying the fiber in the ground along the side of a road or attaching to pole infrastructure. And through those technical working group sessions, we came up with over 30 potential recommendations to government, some of it legislative and regulatory changes, other process improvements, all designed to remove and reduce barriers. And we presented that recommendation package to government. And as I mentioned, they were very willing and supportive of removing and reducing those barriers. And to be honest, some of these barriers have been in place for decades, over 50 years. And we had a government that was willing to make change. And that led to the implementation and amendments of over key pieces of legislation. We implemented a Building Broadband Faster Act. We made changes to the Ontario Energy Board Act. Some of those changes that were introduced created new service standards and timelines for municipalities to approve permits. Utility companies were required to grant access to their pole infrastructure in a certain time frame. Locate companies had to issue locates under a certain period of time. So all of these little aspects helped speed up processes that were otherwise challenges in the past. We also mandated data sharing through our legislation so that stakeholders could share their infrastructure data and facilitate better and earlier network and route planning across the province. And finally, we worked with the private sector to introduce new processes and work methods that made it easier and less costly for internet service providers to attach to electricity poles. So all of these measures together, our Broadband One Window technical assistance team, the legislative package, all of that was put in place to help reduce and remove barriers that have plagued the industries for decades.
I can only imagine that there's no going back now. No, but in all seriousness, though, that is a massive transformation just in terms of process and how things are done. How does that carry over into future? And what lessons do you take forward from this experience? And how do you apply that to the next one?
In our case, the government set a very tight timeline. So we knew we had to pull all parties together. Having a clearly defined problem statement was critical. and partners that were willing to undertake change and adopt new processes was critical in making this a success. And that early and often engagement with our delivery partners is critical. I think that's one of the key success factors that should be carried on in any project that we deliver.
Cool. So technology continues to evolve, as you better than anybody else knows. How do you plan a program like this to ensure that the infrastructure that you're choosing, the infrastructure that you're building today, is going to be useful and meet future needs?
Yeah, and that was one of the critical principles of our program, making sure that government dollars were going towards long-lasting, future-proof infrastructure. And I think a big part of that was having access to reliable, good-quality data. Now, that was a big challenge for us. We had to work with the federal government to ensure we had the latest broadband coverage data. I mentioned that we implemented data sharing legislation that allowed us to gather data from municipalities, utilities, and we housed that all in our platform to make sure we had the best understanding of the landscape, existing pole infrastructure. But pulling together all those data elements and sharing it with internet service providers allowed for better route planning, faster route planning, and we think will help optimize the way broadband is deployed in Ontario.
Thinking about this massive undertaking, I'd love to know, what do you think this means? What kind of impact is this going to have on citizens?
It brings greater digital and social inclusivity. It enables stronger participation for citizens in the digital economy. When you think about all the services that are available online, whether that's virtual healthcare or education, taking courses online, renewing your driver's license, or setting up a business, registering your business, there's so many different things that we do online now. Having access to internet enables that, and especially high-speed internet in those rural communities where they might not have those opportunities.
The interesting thing for me is I always think about, oh, the rural communities are now connected to us, but actually we're also now connected to them, and there's probably a whole swath of stuff, economic cap, like you've kind of opened up a whole other world now. Our whole other world is opening up, which is great for everybody.
That's right. And with the way the world is going, the Internet of Things becoming a trend, AI, ChatGPT is extremely popular. Those parts of the province will now have access to that and levels the playing field and ensures equity and accessibility across our province.
This would not have been possible without the government, without Infrastructure Ontario quarterbacking this thing, organizing it, leading it.
And when you think about those communities, they're often lower population densities that don't make it economical for IS to invest in broadband infrastructure. So there's a market failure there. And that's where the government subsidies and the rule changes have helped bring broadband to communities that would have never otherwise received service.
As an optimistic person by nature, I believe difficult things are worth doing. And when you come up against a thing like this, where it's like, it seems insurmountable, how do you even go about doing that? But it gives me great optimism to think that we can pool all these different people together, including government, to come up with a way to address a really important problem in our province.
It shows what we can do if we have that combined goal or that common goal in mind. And it really sets a precedent for other projects, opens up opportunities for things like digital twins, where, you know, if we had better data, it helps facilitate better, earlier planning and coordination of infrastructure projects. It makes it easier rather than having data dispersed among stakeholders. You have it all in one place. It just makes it more efficient to plan infrastructure projects and deliver them across the province.
So I'm curious, during all of this transformation, what's going on here, is there a story or a particular moment that was challenging when you weren't too sure how you're going to overcome it, but somehow the team did?
I think we have a lot of those bumps along the way. I think when we started this project, we were we weren't even sure how we were going to build a competitive process to have participants willing to bid for projects. And that was a major challenge for us. As we continue to go down this path of building projects, new issues arise. There are new barriers to connecting to poles or building in municipalities that are coming up. So that's where our technical assistance team has really helped resolve some of those challenges. There wouldn't be a mechanism to solving those challenges. It usually ends up being letters to the minister or mayors or political representatives to help triage these issues. So the technical assistance team has really helped alleviate some of the challenges that we've faced.
Ron, now that your IO has done and is doing this, you're on track for 2025, do you think people will kind of hold this up as an example of anything is possible? So when faced with something that seems really difficult, do you think people go, well, look at what Infrastructure Ontario did with high-speed internet. We could do this.
Absolutely. It set a precedent for what could be done in such a short amount of time. We've had other jurisdictions reach out to us, asking us, hey, how did you pull this off? IO is being seen as a leading organization in tackling some of the biggest and most complex problems that the government faces. A big portion of our work is around delivering major infrastructure projects. You think about hospitals and schools, but you may not think about broadband infrastructure. You may not think of other unique challenges that governments face. So IO is being tapped on the shoulder to do many unique projects. And that's very exciting.
I was looking at one of the articles on the website that kind of identifies a lot of the different technologies from satellites to whatever. And it is quite breathtaking to think about all of the different pieces that go into something like this. It really is incredible. All right. What's next on the horizon?
While our reverse auctions were a great process for connecting the regions of Ontario, there were still pockets that received no bids through our auction. It may have been a result of just challenging geography, no existing infrastructure, or our government subsidies weren't sufficient. What we did was we designed a brand new procurement for satellite internet service. So those most rural and remote regions of the province, we've created a competitive process, the first time ever, to procure a satellite internet provider that will provide internet service at 5010 to those geographies.
Hey, what does 5010 mean?
50 megabit per second download and 10 megabit per second upload.
Speeds and feeds, I love it. Cool. With a project of this magnitude, how do you go through the organization and agree on change? How do you build consensus?
Yeah, that's a great question. As I mentioned, engaging the various groups early and often help demonstrate our willingness to listen and advocate for process improvements and implementation of new tools that would help make this project successful. It isn't always an easy task, and we found that information doesn't necessarily flow efficiently or effectively through some organizations. It was important that we connected at all levels of the organizations that we were working with. So we worked with senior leaders to ensure that we had buy-in and a commitment to delivering these projects. And we also worked with the folks on the ground, the ones that were actually putting fiber in the ground or attaching to pole. We had to make sure all parts of these organizations were aligned and essentially rowing in the right direction. And I would say we're now experiencing the fruits of all that labor. We're seeing internet service providers engage their stakeholders early. They're sharing information. They're having dialogues. And this is helping really to iron out issues earlier before they escalate to disputes. We're seeing planning and permitting activities happening earlier, approvals taking place within the new legislated timelines. And we're starting to see connections being made already. So people are starting to receive their internet connections. It was quite an effort, but we're starting to see the fruits of our labor with that.
Wow. You really have thought of everything to make sure that the experience is good, that people live up to their commitments, But it's done in a timely fashion. An unbelievable amount of orchestration that went in. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's the end of another amazing Shift podcast. Ron, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing with us this incredible story about how you and Infrastructure Ontario and ISPs and the government all came together to help deliver high-speed internet all across the province by 2025. Thank you so much for being a guest on Shift.
Thanks again for having me, John. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Shift, a PwC Canada podcast series. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, you can subscribe to Shift on Spotify, Apple, or Google podcasting platforms. You can find more details at pwc.com/ca/shift. Just so you know, this podcast has been prepared by PricewaterhouseCoopers LLP, an Ontario limited liability partnership for general guidance on matters of interest only, and does not constitute professional advice. Until next time.